Good, well, it's wonderful to be here. A warm welcome to you if you are visiting with us for the first time today. And trust that you will enjoy the time, be challenged by the time, and you know, God will meet with you. We're a church on an exciting journey with Jesus Christ. It's a great adventure. And it's a great celebration today because it's a celebration of life. Sean said death, and I will make the connection between the two later. Dee and Jackie, who's that pretty girl next to another whole bunch of pretty girls on the back row there, excluding Gabriel and Errol. Jackie and Dee are getting baptized today, and it's a celebration of new life in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's a celebration. It's a joyful occasion. It's fun. You know, Christianity can be fun. The 11th command, thou shalt have fun in the kingdom. And actually, the Bible says that in God's presence is fullness of joy. As believers, we should be the most joyful people on the planet because Jesus Christ is living on the inside of us. And people should be able to see that. Sad to say, often the church in general has maybe not portrayed that to the community or to the world. People have seen Christianity as a kind of dull, boring, religious affair. But that is not what the picture that the Bible paints of Jesus Christ or of God our Father. Jesus came to put a face on God, and the face that he put on God was one of life, was one of healing, was one of reconciliation, was one of sacrifice, was one of a radical giving of his life so that we might come into life. And Dee and Jackie have experienced that for themselves. And as they get baptized today, they are saying this, that I've put my faith in Jesus Christ, in two ways, as my Savior, who has died for my sins. He is the Savior of the world, but he's become my Savior. He's died for my sins. I've confessed my sin to him. I've given my life to him. He's my Savior. But also, he's my Lord. I've handed over the keys of my life to him. I've surrendered the controls of my destiny, my future, my heart to him. I want to take on his attitude and his lifestyle by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what they're saying through baptism today. I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed by him. And I want to surrender my life to him as Lord. And so Christianity is about an encounter with Jesus Christ. My wife Lynn and I have been married for about 25 years now. And our courting kind of dating, it wasn't even dating then, it was more sort of pre-dating, initial contacts. We were 6,000 miles apart. Lynn was in Birmingham and I was in Johannesburg in South Africa. And I won't bore you or go into detail with all of that, how we got together. But that's how far apart we were. And initially, all I saw of Lynn was a photograph, or a couple of photographs, which her mum, actually, I met her mum first. Always dangerous to meet, you know, the mother-in-law first. And she showed me some photographs of Lynn. And I thought, oh, she looks great, you know. And there was a stirring in my heart, and you know, God was working in both Lynn's life and my life in terms of this whole thing. And then we started to write some letters to each other, and yeah, you know, the relationship started to develop. But that was nothing compared to 9 months later when she stepped onto an aeroplane, came through Johannesburg Airport. I didn't recognize her initially when she came through the lounge, but when I saw her, when we met, then the relationship really kicked off. And Christianity is the same, that we can hear about God, we can have our ideas about God, we can even read what we And we do need to read the scriptures and read the truth about who God is. But all of that is to lead us into an encounter with Jesus Christ. And when we encounter him, we go to a whole new level. That's what Christianity is about. And Jackie and Dee have encountered Jesus. And it's been wonderful to see in the last 6 months or so what God has been doing in their lives. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It's knowing him. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12, it says, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Wow, it's a strong statement, isn't it? Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And as a teenager, I was a churchgoer. I grew up in a church-going family, quite a religious background. We would go to church twice on a Sunday. And I thought I was doing pretty okay, kind of leading a good life and all the rest of it on the right track. I didn't know that actually I was spiritually dead. I was lost and on my way to a lost eternity. Until my brother came back to our family. He'd been away at university, and we saw an incredible change in his life. And he'd also had a religious upbringing with us. But something different had happened to him. He had come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ while he was away at university. And he came back to the family for a year, and we thought, wow, there's something different here. And our whole religious upbringing and comfortable traditional world was shaken to the core, right side up, as we saw, actually, there is more, much more to Christianity than going to a church building twice on a Sunday. And Jesus came, friends, to bring us into life. He paid that sacrifice on the cross so that we might be set free from our sins and come into a relationship with him. Christianity is not about religious ritual. What we're doing today in that baptism pool at the back, what we're going to do a bit later, it's not a religious ceremony. It's not a kind of something that we just do, go through the motions with. It's not a tradition that we want to keep. It's a celebration that two people have encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. And what they're going to do in that pool is symbolic of what Jesus has done for us, that he died, was buried, and is risen. Yeah? He died, was buried, and is risen. So where does baptism fit in? I want to just chat about this for a few minutes from the scriptures and ask the question, who is baptism for? When do we baptize? How do we baptize? And why is baptism so important? And I'm going to cover the who, how, and when under one banner. And then I'm just going to give you three or four reasons quickly of why baptism is important. Okay. So the first thing is, who is baptism for? And how do we baptize? Let me kick off with the how. We're going to baptize people in that pool just now. The word baptize in the Bible is taken from a Greek word, because the New Testament was written in Greek. I had a friend of mine who said, I know a little Greek. He owns a cafe on the corner down the road. So I don't know a lot of Greek, but I do know a little Greek. And the Greek word for baptism is the word baptizo. It's an unusual word because it's directly translated into English from Greek. Most words change when you go from one language to another. But this word has remained unchanged. And it means this: to dip something into a fluid and then take it out again, to cover wholly with a fluid. In other words, it means to immerse. It was used in olden times of when ships sank. They would say they were baptized. They were submerged. They were drenched. So baptism, the actual word means immersion, to plunge into. And it's a picture of when Dee and Jackie go under that water, of a total immersion of their whole personality. Yeah, going under, because they have given their whole being to Christ. So who is to be baptized? I'm so glad you asked. Let's go to a couple of scriptures, and we're going to kick off in Mark chapter 16. And these are some of the final words of Jesus before he ascended back to heaven after he'd been raised from death. And it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to them, to his disciples, to his followers, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," that's the good news of what Christ has done, "to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from our sin, because by nature we are sinners and we are separate from God and we are in a place of condemnation. But Jesus came and gave his life so that we don't need to stay in that place, but we could go free. And so who is baptism for? Baptism is for believers. Okay? So the Bible teaches baptism is for those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ. And then in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus starts his ministry with these words. He says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So the other requirement or criteria, if you like, for somebody to be baptized is that they have repented of their sins. What does the word repentance mean? It means a change of mind, change of attitude, change of heart that results in a complete 180 degree turn and going in a new direction. So it's a bit like you're going along the highway or the freeway, the motorway, and you suddenly realize, oops, as we have from time to time, we were visiting friends up in Dundee middle of last year. And we were staying in a Premier Inn overnight. We were going to do some ministry in a church up there the following day. And we actually went in completely the wrong direction, headed up on our way to Arbroath rather than back to Dundee. And suddenly we realized, and we couldn't get off that track until we found the next turn off and then back down the other side. Repentance is realizing you're going in the wrong direction, changing your mind about some things, about who God is, about who you are, and making a decision, a choice to turn around and going a new direction. And both Jackie and Dee have done that in this last number of months, possibly even before that. But they've made decisions, they've made choices, and God has been working in their lives. I just want to turn to Matthew chapter 3, please. Matthew chapter 3, read a couple of verses here about repentance and baptism. This particular text is about John the Baptizer. Some people call him John the Baptist. He wasn't actually a Baptist. He was a baptizer. That was a bit of a joke, but that's all right. John the Baptizer, he went baptizing people. And Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to John and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw some of the Pharisees and Sadducees," this kind of the religious group of people coming to his baptism, he said to them some very strong words. He said to them, "Brood of vipers," in other words, "you snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And who warned you that the judgment of God is coming? And he said, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." And if we were to read other scriptures in the Bible, you would find that the sign that we have repented or turned to Christ, repentance means to turn from our old way of living, to turn from our sin, and to turn to God. And the sign that we've done that is that we are bearing fruit in our lives. And there's a change in focus. There's a change in priorities. There's a change in purpose. There's a change in attitude. Christ has come into my life and he's changed, you know, the way I think about life, the way where I'm going, how I relate to my friends, you know, what I'm involved in, etc. That doesn't mean that life gets all dull and boring now because I've got to give up a whole lot of stuff, as people often think. No, life begins at that point. He who has the Son has the life. Because it's not just life for a few brief years. Friends, 70 or 80 years on this planet is like a burp compared to eternity. It is so small. Didn't quite get the pop right then. So small compared to eternity. And when we repent from our sins and we put our faith in Jesus, we receive the life in the person, and the Holy Spirit comes to live in our lives. And that's what's happened with Dee and Jackie. And we've seen amazing fruit in their lives. You know, you never see an apple tree straining to produce fruit. Give me some apples, you know. Or a pear tree or whatever it might be. You know? When you are rooted in soil and it's well nourished and you put your roots down, the tree bears fruit naturally. A friend of mine used to say, a rose just grows. The beauty, the bounty, the fruitfulness we bear, but Jesus produces it in me. And we see it. And we've seen it in Dee and Jackie, and it's a privilege for us to baptize them today. So repentance and belief are the two criteria. So the Bible teaches that believers' baptism. Baptism is for people who can hear the gospel, respond to the implications of the gospel, understand the gospel, and make a choice to follow Jesus. It's for believers, not babies. The Bible doesn't teach about sprinkling infants. You can have a look at it from generations to revolutions. Genesis to Revelation. You'll not find one scripture on it. And so, yeah, it's for believers. It's not for adults either. It's for believers. In other words, it's not according to age, it's according to your belief. So a six-year-old can be baptized by full immersion if they understand the implications of the gospel. Yeah? So Lorna, our youngest daughter, was baptized when she was 6 or 7. She wanted to be baptized when she was younger. We kind of said, no, just hold on a bit, you know, just make sure you fully understand what you're doing here. And a year later, she came to me again and said, I want to be baptized. I said, why do you want to be baptized? She said, I want to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. And she was telling us the story last night that when she was thinking about saying, how is she going to say this to the church? And she went through it and she said, I want to get baptized because Jesus wants to follow me for the rest of my life. No, it's the other way around. But she had an understanding of who Jesus was and she wanted to follow him. My wife was 11 years old when she got baptized. 14. I was 18. And so the age is not the issue. The issue is being coming into an encounter with Jesus Christ and saying, I want to follow him for the rest of my life. Yeah? And following him full on. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Okay, you with me? Let me just illustrate this truth with a few scriptures from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. This is an amazing story. Wonderful picture. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. I'm going to read, and then we're just going to pick it up in verse 30. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. So when do we get baptized? We can get baptized immediately we believe on Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait until we think we're more spiritually mature. What we're going to see here is that people repented, believed, and were baptized soon after. So here's what it says. Chapter 8 and verse 12. When they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay? Verse 30. We have Philip meeting up with a man who's on his way back to Africa. He's an Ethiopian who's been in Jerusalem. And this is what it says. He sees the man sitting on a chariot, and verse 29 says, the Holy Spirit, who is a person, who is God, said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He was reading a scripture. And he said to him, do you understand, there's a key word, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? It's a wonderful picture, friends, of how, as my brother introduced me to Jesus Christ, we can introduce people to Christ and help to bring understanding of who he is. So he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And beginning with that scripture, Philip explained Jesus to the man. I just jumped down a couple of verses there. The eunuch asked Philip in verse 34, who does the prophet speak about? Who is he speaking about, himself or somebody else? Verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. It's a good challenge for us as believers this morning. But can we go to scriptures throughout the Bible where people may be searching for God and take a scripture and take them to Jesus Christ from that scripture? And so as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He's just understood who this man is, Jesus Christ. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, it's a heart belief, friends, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And then when they came up out of the water, so there was plenty of water there, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. The criteria was, believe with all your heart. It's a heart thing. It's not just understanding facts about Christ. It's actually putting a belief from our heart, faith in Jesus Christ, what he's done for me, and expressing that, committing to that. Acts chapter 16. I'm just going to read another scripture out of Acts 16. Verses 31 to 34. Because we have accounts in the book of Acts where whole households were saved. Whole households put their faith in Christ. How did they do that? They heard what was being preached. They were old enough to understand what was being said in terms of who Jesus is, why he's come. And they believed on him. And they were immediately baptized. And so chapter 16, verse 31 says, when the jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. They all heard the word. They all understood. They all responded. And in verse 34, it says, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And immediately, in the verse prior, it says, he and all his family were baptized. So baptism is for believers. It's a belief from the heart. And I remember I had a friend of mine when I was at university. His name was Simon. He was a drama student at Loughborough. And he'd been sprinkled or christened as a baby, been confirmed as a teenager. And this is what he said when he got up as a student. He'd come to faith in Christ personally. And he said, I was christened or sprinkled as a baby because my parents wanted me to. I was confirmed as a 13-year-old because the church wanted me to. But now I'm getting baptized because I want to. And I like that. Because baptism is about a personal response. It's not something I do because it's the done thing. It's not something I do because it's the tradition of the church. It's not something I do because I feel pressure to do it by any other person. It's something I do because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and I want to declare it to everybody. So why is baptism so important? Four very quick points. Firstly, baptism is a public declaration of my faith in Jesus Christ. It's a public declaration. John baptized in public. And baptism is where you kind of nail your colors to the mast. So, because Christianity is very personal, but it's not private. And that personal relationship with Jesus is to be shared with other people. That's why he came, that the good news may be shared and people will be saved. Yeah. And so it's a public declaration of a person's faith in Christ. And it's wonderful today that we've got family members and friends and people in the church to witness Jackie and Dee getting baptized. But it's also a testimony to God and to the devil. I'm getting baptized today. Because friends, we have an opponent. We have an enemy, Bible teaches. It's called the devil. He's the evil one. You know, logic tells you that there must be someone behind evil in our world. And the Bible teaches who that is. And we're actually born into this world as children under sin, the Bible teaches us. You know, and again, logic teaches us that that is a reality. If you've been a parent or a child, and you've had parents, you'll know from a very early age that your child generally wants to do something that you do not want him or her to do. And that's not just curiosity. There's something deeper than that. The Bible calls it sin. We're born with it. We can't deal with it ourselves. But the good news is Jesus Christ came to deal with it once and for all on the cross. And so baptism is a declaration of my faith in Jesus. I've changed camp. I used to be in the devil's camp. I'm now in Christ's camp. I've changed allegiance. It's interesting, in New Testament times, when you got baptized, it was like signing your death warrant. Because people grew up, it was in the time of the Roman Empire, when everybody said this, Caesar is Lord. Caesar was a god in the Roman Empire. But when a Christian got up to be baptized, they said three words, Jesus is Lord. And they were effectively putting their life on the line, going public and saying, I'm declaring my allegiance to a new king. And many of them went into the gladiatorial arenas, were fed to lions. Many of them lost their lives because they declared Jesus is Lord. But they did it, friends, unashamedly, because they'd found a new king, an eternal king. They weren't afraid to die for him because they'd received eternal life. They weren't afraid of death. They stood in the face of lions, in the face of fire, and they declared Jesus is Lord. They went public. And today, these two ladies are going public. And declaring their faith in Christ. May I just say that at one time, it seemed like the Caesars were invincible. But 2,000 years later, the only time you hear the name Caesar is the name of a dog or a type of salad. But the name of Jesus, 2,000 years later, is marching on. They reckon that 135,000 people a day are encountering and putting their faith in Jesus Christ around this world. And that's a conservative figure. I'm not talking about going to a church building. I'm talking about surrendering their lives to Jesus and receiving eternal life. His gospel is bearing fruit everywhere in our world. In the short time we've been in Edinburgh, we've seen people from Germany, China, Poland, Brazil, Zimbabwe, Malawi, different parts of Africa, Australia, come through this church, come into the kingdom of God and be baptized and declare Jesus is my Lord. And we've seen people come in and that's the incredible thing about the family of God. The second reason why baptism is so important is that it's the first significant step of discipleship and obedience. It's an act of discipleship and obedience. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20, Jesus said, "All authority I give to you in heaven and earth. Therefore go," he says to his disciples, "and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It's a command. And when we respond, we're just being obedient. It's as simple as that. Secondly, we're following what Jesus did himself. Jesus himself was baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, talk about how Jesus himself was baptized. Yeah? And after he came up out of the water, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and a voice came from heaven, God the Father saying, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And so when we choose to get baptized, we're following Christ's pattern. We're saying we're experiencing the Holy Spirit's power. And as we walk out in obedience and do that, we can sense and know the Father's pleasure on our lives. Following Jesus' pattern, walking in the Spirit's power, and experiencing the Father's pleasure. Man, that is, there is nothing better on this planet. Following Jesus' pattern, experiencing the Holy Spirit's power, and knowing the Father's pleasure. And I want to just say to Dee and Jackie today, the Father's pleasure is on you. Yeah. His smile is on your lives. And the third thing is, baptism is, it's an outward expression of an inward reality. And I just want to read two verses in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 and 4. And this is what it says. "Therefore, we were buried with Jesus through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." There it is. It's a celebration of newness of life. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." It's a powerful, powerful few verses there. Basically, the context is saying, if you are in Christ, you no longer need to walk in sin. You can walk in life, in love, in wisdom, and in freedom. And he says, don't you remember that when you got baptized, that's what it symbolized? And so what's happening today is as Jackie and Dee get baptized, and they're saying, "I've died with Christ," as they go under the water, saying, "I've been buried with Christ," and as they come up out of the water, "I'm risen to new life with Christ." That doesn't mean that that's happening today. It's a testimony of what's already happened to them on the inside. But friends, the power of the statement is this, to people, to themselves, to their friends, is this: there's no going back. I'm walking in this thing, to take Sean's word further this morning. I'm walking in this. This is continuous presence. I've been walking with Jesus for 32 years. It was my new birthday last Friday. 32 years I knelt down at my bedside at 14 Earl Road in Warrington, in my bedroom, and repented of my sins and gave my life to Christ. And it's been a walk, an amazing walk. Yeah, there's been challenges on the way. It doesn't mean when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean you lose all your problems. No, it doesn't mean that. Actually, sometimes you get more. But there's joy in the journey. There's incredible privilege in walking with Jesus. And you can pioneer with him into new territory and just see God at work in your life in a whole new way as he just works in your heart. And so this baptism testifies to the centrality of Christ's death and resurrection. We had a young girl a few years ago, a young Scottish girl who came to know Jesus, and she said, I want to be baptized. And we baptized her in the sea on a church camp in Arbroath. And when I asked her to share why she wanted to be baptized, she says, "I want to seal the deal of what he has done on the cross for me. I thought, I like that. You see, what he did on the cross and through his resurrection, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. And when we get baptized, we're sealing the deal. We're confessing to that thing. Nothing could be added to what Jesus has done. It's a finished work. It's total. It's complete. Because of what he did on the cross, he destroyed the power of sin. He destroyed the power of the devil. He conquered the grave. Every enemy has been defeated in Jesus Christ, including death. So baptism is a burial to the old and a rising to the new, saying, I'm leaving my old way behind. I'm going into a new destination with a new purpose, a new life, a new community. I'm going forward into a new way of living. The last, number four, and then we're going to move into it. The last point is baptism identifies me as part of a new family, God's family. I want to just say this, that God's family is the greatest family on earth. God is the author of family, life, our nuclear family. Yeah, Lynn and I and our children. He's the author of family. He's the all fatherhood and family, it says in Ephesians, is derived from his name. And when we come to faith in Christ, we come into a new family. And so we come into a new family through faith. We demonstrate that we're part of a new family through baptism. It's a public declaration. It shows we are part of a new family, a new army, a new people, the people of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to the church, added to their number. I'm going to give Dee and Jackie an opportunity now just to testify, just to share in as short or long as they like about why they want to get baptized. Once they've done that, I want to just say a few more words and pray. And give people the opportunity here this morning to respond to Jesus Christ, to call on his name. You see, part of that thing of public declaration is that it says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. They're confessing that today, that they are saved. And if we go further down in that passage to verse 13, it says that actually as that confession goes out, there is an opportunity for everybody to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Because the invitation is for everybody. Everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, that's, you're part of that whoever, believes on him should not perish and go to hell, but should respond to him, give their lives to him, and have everlasting life. And there's an invitation to each one of us here this morning to respond to Jesus Christ, like these two ladies have done. So, Jackie, can I invite you to come and... thanks, Sean. Why don't we give her a welcome? You can hold it if you prefer. Or do you want this? Just put your Bible down?
No, it's okay.
Sure? Yeah. But it's there if you need it.
Okay. Mine is not a long testimony. Mine is really short and sweet. So the reason I want to get baptized today is because I want to declare that the Lord is my Savior and I accept that into my life. A short history about me. I've always grown up in a Christian household. I've never really known, I've known that there is a God, but I've never known him for myself. So recently I went to South Africa to spend time with my family, and yeah, I spent time with my grandparents and heard about their faith and their stories, and yeah, that was a big encouragement in my life. So yeah, I want to learn for myself, which I've been doing along with Mary Lee and people here. And yeah, it's been a good experience, and I'm excited to see what else God has for me.
Wonderful. Great. Okay. Dee?
For me, life changed really early in 2011. A really simple thing that changed my life, I picked up a book. Dusty Bible, but I picked up a book. One of my friends had challenged me on my spiritual knowledge. And I'd grown up in a family who went to church, and I'd done Sunday school, I'd been christened, I'd gone to youth, I'd done everything right the way through to a young adult. Some point in there, I did give my life to Christ, mid-teenager, when I realised that the sacrifice that had been made for love for me, that God had sacrificed his only son, that Jesus had died such a huge death because of love, just me. That was huge, and I really responded to that. But the church I was in, and the people around me, didn't help me, and they didn't know what to do with it. So I kept on trying and trying and trying to be good. I wanted to please, but I left feeling a failure. I felt I'd been called but not chosen. As adult life gone on, like I said, I'd tried my hardest, but I found it quite difficult, if not impossible. And I did feel like I'd failed. But my friend challenged me, and I thought, that doesn't match up to what I've heard, what I'd been taught. So I checked into it. And I'd sort of gone back, and we'd been talking, and I was a bit confused why wasn't it the same? If I'd gone to a church and they'd been teaching me about salvation and about Jesus and God, why wasn't it all the same? And he'd sort of mentioned that there was many different reasons why potentially I hadn't been told the truth. Innocently, purposefully. And the Bible holds all the warnings, saying you will be deceived. You know what I mean? We're not going to be told the truth. Satan's hard at work making sure that we don't find out the truth. And that angered me. You know what I mean? How dare somebody not tell me the truth of such a big, important thing? I mean, I really did feel that in every other area of my life, I would never have let anybody take that responsibility. I would take it myself. So why, with such huge stakes, eternal salvation, my eternal soul in heaven or hell, and I'm letting that choice, that responsibility be someone else's? So that day I chose to take the responsibility myself. One of the scriptures that really spoke to me was Philippians 2:12. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's exactly what I did. I started to read. I was shocked at what I found. All these truths. And not some airy-fairy, wishy-washy truths that I felt that I'd been taught as a youngster. No, they were unattainable. I mean, they were sort of there somewhere, but not quite within my grasp. But these truths, you can verify them in so many ways. You look out the window. Some come from deep within my soul, and others come from many other places that you can find history books anywhere. It can all be verified. My mind has been renewed daily by the word of God, so my testimony is not yet complete, as God is still working in my life and will continue to do so and do some great and mighty things in my life and my family's. I've no doubt that it's all going to be His glory. I recommitted my life to God on the 24th of February 2011. And my desire every day was to please Him. Today, I'm going to be baptised and take the step of obedience. And I know that my God will be pleased today. Amen. Thank you.
Wonderful. It's great. Just before we go to do the baptisms, I just want to say this. On Friday afternoon, around about 4 o'clock, I'm saying that I was just doing some prep in the study, and saying that was my 32nd-year-old new birthday. Lynn just gave me a call saying that our neighbours, who are older neighbours, Rob is 80 years old, and Dinah's, I think, in her 70s. Dinah just came through and asked Lynn to come through. I joined her. Rob was having heart pains. He thought possibly he might be having a heart attack. And he hadn't been well for a couple of weeks, and so we just went through and just sat with them, and Lynn phoned NHS 24 to explain the situation to them, and they arranged to send out two paramedics. But we prayed with them, and this is the thing. Rob has known the Lord for many years. He gave his life to Christ many years ago. He's a real Scot, born and bred in Edinburgh. It was on the trawlers, used to go out fishing in the North Sea. Lovely man. And anyway, we prayed for him, and just the peace of God just came into that situation. Sensed God's presence, God's power as we prayed. And there was just something that God did there in his physical being as well. But I asked him, are you ready, you know, to go when you need to go? And he said, yeah, I'm not afraid to die because I know where I'm going. I know who Jesus is. And death is always it's always a sad thing. It's something that's almost seems wrong in the sense of, you know, life coming to an end. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ. And Rob had that assurance in his heart that he knew where he was going. And my question for you this morning, as you've heard something of the gospel preached here today and testimonies of these two ladies, is do you have an assurance of where you are going? And because Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance, life with a new purpose in this life, where we can walk with him and walk on from this life with him into eternity.